from Rousseau's writings. Consider, by contrast, the morals of a few nations who have been preserved from the contagion of useless knowledge. By their virtues they have become happy in themselves and provide a shining example to all. Thus were the first inhabitants of Persia, a nation so exceptional that its inhabitants were taught virtue in the same way as we are taught the sciences. These were the Persians who conquered Asia with ease, and achieved the rare glory of having the history of their political institutions read by posterity as a philosophical romance. So also were the Scythians, of whom history speaks so highly. So also were the early Germanic people, whose simplicity of living, innocence, and virtue were such a delight to the historian Tacitus, when he became sick of describing the crimes and degeneracies of his own enlightened, opulent, and voluptuous people. So also were the Romans themselves, in the early days of their poverty and ignorance. Discourse on the Sciences and the Arts. The first man who enclosed a piece of land, who then came up with the idea of saying, "This is mine," and found people simple enough to believe him, was the true founder of civil society. How many crimes, wars, and murders stem from this act? How much misery and horror the human race would have been spared if someone had simply pulled out the stakes and filled in the ditch and cried out to his fellow men, "Beware of listening to this impostor. You are lost if you forget that the fruits of the earth belong to everyone, and that the earth itself belongs to no one." Discourse on the Origin of Inequality. Man was born free, and everywhere he is in chains. Many a person believes himself to be the master of others, and yet he is in reality a greater slave than they are. How has this change come about? I do not know. What can render it legitimate? I believe that I have the answer to this question. If I considered only the use of force and its results, I should say that for as long as people are forced to obey and do obey, it works fairly well. But as soon as these people are able to shake off their yoke and do so by force, things become better. For if people recover their freedom in the same way as it was taken away from them, either they are justified in so gaining their freedom, or there was no justification for taking away their freedom in the first place. Social contract. Everything is good in so far as it is given to us by the hands of the author of nature. Yet everything degenerates in the hands of man. He forces one country to nurture what is produced in another, one tree to bear the fruits of another. He mixes up and confuses the climates, the elements, and even the seasons. He mutilates his dog, his horse, and his slave. He turns everything upside down and disfigures everything. He loves deformity and monsters. He will have nothing as nature made it, not even himself. Like a wild horse, he must be first broken in before he is fit for man's service. He must be shaped according to his own fancy, like a tree in his garden. Emile, or On Education. I am made quite unlike anyone I have ever met. I will even go so far as to say that I am quite unlike anyone else in the whole world. I may be no better than anyone else, but at least I am different. Whether nature was right or wrong to break the mould after creating me is a question which can only be resolved after you have read this book. Confessions. Thus my third child was taken to the Foundling Hospital, just like the other two. The next two were disposed of in the same way, for I had five altogether. This arrangement seemed to me so admirable, so rational, and so legitimate, that the only reason I did not boast openly of it was to spare the mother, Thérèse. I certainly told all those among my friends who knew of our relationship. In other words, I made no mystery of what I did. This was not only because I have never known how to keep a secret from my friends, but also because I really saw no harm in it. All things considered, what I chose for my children was the best for them, or so I genuinely believed. I could have wished, and still wish, that I had been reared and brought up in the same fashion. Confessions. Chronology of Significant Philosophical Dates. 6th century BC, the beginning of Western philosophy with Thales of Miletus. End of 6th century BC, death of Pythagoras. 399 BC, Socrates sentenced to death in Athens. Circa 387 BC, Plato founds the Academy in Athens, the first university. 335 BC, Aristotle founds the Lyceum in Athens, a rival school to the Academy. 324 AD, Emperor Constantine moves capital of Roman Empire to Byzantium. 400 AD, St. Augustine writes his Confessions, philosophy absorbed into Christian theology. 410 AD, sack of Rome by Visigoths heralds opening of Dark Ages. 529 AD, Closure of Academy in Athens by Emperor Justinian marks end of Hellenic thought. Mid-13th century. Thomas Aquinas writes his commentaries on Aristotle, era of Scholasticism. 1453. Fall of Byzantium to Turks, end of Byzantine Empire. 1492. Columbus reaches America, Renaissance in Florence and revival of interest in Greek learning. 1543. Copernicus publishes On the Revolution of the Celestial Orbs, proving mathematically that the Earth revolves around the Sun. 1633. Galileo forced by Church to recant heliocentric theory of the universe. 1641. Descartes publishes his Meditations, the start of modern philosophy. 1677. Death of Spinoza allows publication of his Ethics. 1687. Newton publishes Principia, introducing concept of gravity. 1689. Locke publishes Essay Concerning Human Understanding, start of empiricism. 1710. Berkeley publishes Principles of Human Knowledge, advancing empiricism to new extremes. 1716. Death of Leibniz. 1739-1740. Hume publishes Treatise of Human Nature, taking empiricism to its logical limits. 1781. Kant, awakened from his dogmatic slumbers by Hume, publishes Critique of Pure Reason, great era of German metaphysics begins. 1807. Hegel publishes The Phenomenology of Mind, high point of German metaphysics. 1818. Schopenhauer publishes The World as Will and Representation, introducing Indian philosophy into German metaphysics. 1889. Nietzsche, having declared God is dead, succumbs to madness in Turin. 1921. Wittgenstein publishes Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus, claiming the final solution to the problems of philosophy. 1920s. Vienna Circle propounds logical positivism. 1927. Heidegger publishes Being and Time, heralding split between analytical and continental philosophy. 1943. Sartre publishes Being and Nothingness, advancing Heidegger's thought and instigating existentialism. 1953. Posthumous publication of Wittgenstein's Philosophical Investigations, high era of linguistic analysis. Chronology of Rousseau's Life and Times. 1712. June 28th, Jean-Jacques Rousseau born in Geneva, Switzerland. 1727. Death of Newton. 1728. Teenage Rousseau flees from Geneva. 1731, stays with Madame de Warren and converts to Roman Catholicism. 1742, arrives in Paris. 1743-1744, secretary to French ambassador in Venice. 1744, forms relationship with Thérèse Levasseur. 1750, writes discourse on the sciences and the arts. 1751, composes opera Le Devin du Village. 1755, publishes Discourse on the Origin of Inequality. 1758, leaves Paris to live at Montmorency. 1761, publication of Julie or the New Héloïse. 1762, publication of Social Contract and Émile or On Education. Forced to flee to Switzerland. 1766-1767, takes refuge in England. 1767, returns to France incognito. 1768, marries Thérèse Levasseur. 1776, American independence. 1777, July 2nd, death at Ermenonville. 1782-1789, publication of Confessions. 1789, French Revolution. This concludes the reading of Rousseau in 90 Minutes by Paul Strathern. Copyright 2002 by Paul Strathern. This book was read by Robert Whitfield. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Ivan R. D. Publisher and was produced in 2004 by Blackstone Audiobooks Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Neither this recording or any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. If you would like to obtain a complete catalogue of our titles or a monthly update telling you about new releases and our new collection of books on CD and MP3, write to Blackstone Audiobooks, P.O. Box 969, Ashland, Oregon zip code 97520, or call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. You may also obtain the same information from our award-winning website. Our address, all one word, is www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.